The subject of sin is a major part of human existence. S-I-N, sin. Biblical truth. What is it? Why does it have such an effect upon our lives? I thought it would be worthy this morning to pursue that thought. The effects of sin and the only remedy for it. In the passage which we read this morning in Isaiah 61, gives us a description of the effects of sin. Would you turn there again as I repeat the reading of that passage, thinking of it as a description of the effects of sin and viewing it spiritually. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Reference to Christ. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now we have to turn to the New Testament passage and see how this is fulfilled. Luke chapter 4. We're going to take a look in Luke and see what the Lord has to say here in chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. The book of Luke and chapter 4, verse 16. And this is about our Lord Jesus Christ. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And so on. The point is that the Isaiah passage refers to Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself took that passage to refer to himself, to say, this day, this passage is among you and is fulfilled. Now I want to go through the Isaiah passage and look at the terms that relate to sin so that we understand ourselves in our society. Now, let's just review the biblical expressions for sin. There are three of them in Psalm 51 just in the beginning, this is David's confession, where he says, Lord, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. That's one. Cleanse me from my iniquity. Wash me from my sin. Now there are three terms. Transgression, sin, iniquity. And of course we have evil and wickedness. Now what is transgression? Transgression is the definite act of disobedience to the law of God. It is disobedience. What is iniquity? Iniquity refers to that form of sin which means crooked, twisted. Sin warps our mind, our thinking. We don't think right. We don't think right about God, about ourselves. We're twisted. Sin, the word sin, is used in Romans, where it says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin means we don't measure up to Him. We think of sin according to human standard, and the Bible doesn't do that. Then we have evil and wickedness, and that's known to us. This matter of the standard is all important. Sin is judged by God's standard, not by our own. And then Jesus came along and said, it's not the outward obedience to the law, it must also be inward. It's in your thought. It's in your desire. And you may have outward conformity to the law of God and look pretty good, but you're evil in your heart. So we're looking at God's standard and what He said. Now in the Isaiah passage, one of the first words we come to is captive. To proclaim liberty to the captive. Sin has us captive. It rules and dominates life. Sin becomes our nature. It's from within. It holds us. And as we learn about sin, we understand that for some people, it starts in a very small way. It grows and grows and becomes an addiction. I was associated with a man in business before I was a Christian who was an embezzler. He was a great athlete. He was seemingly as moral as anybody else. He started small in transferring accounts. It grew and grew. And the day that Tim was born, on the front page of the Orange County Register, it says this man was guilty of embezzling several $100,000. I had been associated with him in business. God had saved me, but this man went to prison. He was addicted. It grew and grew and held it. He could not escape it. I have met with many people who were into drugs, who had become addicted. I remember one man said to me, "Bill, never trust anyone who uses drugs. They cannot tell the truth. They cannot think the truth. They will lie to you. It becomes their way of life. The most important thing in their life is for them to get the drugs. So they will do anything and everything in order to bring that about. It is an addiction. Sin is a power that takes dominion. And it can be many kinds of addiction. Some people are addicted to psychological truths or mistruths. Addicted to immorality, whatever it is, this word is true. The Lord came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, this is not an easy message to talk about sin. And if it weren't for the remedy, it probably wouldn't be worth it. And I want you to know that I'm certainly not here preaching at you. Sin is one thing that puts us in a commonality of life. We are together. I am here as a sinner, a saved sinner, a forgiven sinner, but certainly a sinner held captive with the sin of nature taking dominion. It's very important to help our young people understand that sin starts in a small way, but grows and grows like a snowball. And before you know it, there is a captivity. Alcohol, drugs, life is controlled by sin. Another word that is used here, associated with this, is the opening of the prison to those who are bound. In prison, you can't get out. Under sin, we are in prison, and we cannot get out. We cannot solve our sin problem. It does rule our life. It does rule our mind, and it does rule our heart. And unless someone more powerful than we comes to us to set us free, we are bound for all of life. Another term that is used here in regard to sin is brokenhearted. To heal and comfort those who are brokenhearted. Sin breaks our hearts. There is a conviction, and there is a sorrow, and there's a grief, and there's a mourning over what it has done to us and what it does to other people. We never sin privately. And the interesting thing, of course, that's going on in our country now is in regard to our president, where so many people are saying that his sin is his private life and no one has a right to look into that or to pay attention to that. Well, there's no such thing as a private life. We all affect each other every day. And sin affects many lives. And there is a broken heart when we realize the hurt and how many people we have mistreated and hurt along the way, where we are willing to steal from them and to rob them of life. Sin, captive, bound, broken-hearted, And then it says that he comes to give beauty for ashes, verse 3. Now, ashes refer to something burned out. Sin does that to our life. Over and over, day after day, we experience burnout. Ashes, in a sense, are ugly. There's nothing beautiful about them. But when we get to the remedy, we'll see that he comes to give beauty for ashes. In the Luke passage, he refers to blindness, to give sight to the blind. Well, of course, this is a spiritual blindness. I heard the testimony of a man recently who thought of himself as an atheist, although he knew something about Christianity. But there is a point where people are spiritually blind. No amount of argument, no amount of debate, no amount of proof can open that eye. And he has come to do that. This is the condition of the world in sin. Cannot see the truth, the reality. What we learn here is that sin affects every area of our life. There's nothing that isn't disturbed by sin. It permeates. That's why it's called a sin nature. It's natural for the unbeliever to sin. That is the only realm in which he or she can live. And we need to know about this in our life, for ourselves personally, and for our family, for our church. Now, let's go on to look at the remedy for this, the salvation of the Lord to those whom God graces with regeneration. Now, what's going to happen to them? What happens to us? There's only one way out of sin. This is, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must say that with people who are into alcohol and drugs and other kinds of problems, there is human relief from that with rehabilitation. People can go to these places and be healed and cured of a drug addiction. But they are not healed or cured of sin. You can be free of drugs, but you're still in sin. We're talking about being free from sin, the way out. And there's only one way out, and that's through Christ, who has come to proclaim liberty to the captives. And what a glorious, wonderful thing that is, to be set free from the control of sin. So that Paul is able to write to the Romans, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Doesn't mean we become sinlessly perfect, but there is a huge, tremendous change in that we are no longer held captive. And following up with that, there is the opening of the prison door to those who are bound. And we walk out free, free to live. No longer held just in the realm of sin, but free to live in the kingdom of God and in the realm of righteousness. And I love the song where the third verse speaks of Peter being taken out of the prison. The dungeon flamed with light, and he walked out of there because an angel opened the door. And for those of us who have been regenerated, we have been set free from our captivity. The prison door has opened, and we have walked out. And then it says that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to give comfort, to give the oil of joy for the brokenhearted. Now, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, Scripture, and he comes to mend that broken heart, a heart broken by sin. And unless the Holy Spirit does that, there is no regeneration. You see, there has to be pain before the healing. And we have to come to grips with sin, and the Holy Spirit has to bring a conviction of sin and break our heart, or there is no true regeneration. And this is borne out by the many prisoners who have no remorse over their sin. They're just angry that they got caught and they're in prison. Well, that is not spiritual healing. The Holy Spirit must convict us of our sin and give us a broken heart that we have disobeyed our God and that we are in opposition to him. And then he comes and pours in the oil of comfort and heals the broken hearted. What a wonderful thing. Now then it says he gives beauty for ashes. He takes the ugliness of our life in sin, that ugly spirit, and makes us beautiful. What a glorious thing it is to be a Christian and have the Holy Spirit do that work of grace in our life, so that a Christian is a beautiful person inside that affects the outside. Now then, in the Isaiah passage in verse 3, he says he comes to give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sin brings a spirit of guilt. That is a spirit of heaviness. It's a heavy thing to be living in sin, to be apart from God, and not understanding or experiencing forgiveness. It's a terrible thing. I hate to feel guilty. You'd think I'd stop sinning. I hate it so much. But I thank God that there is forgiveness, and that spirit of heaviness is comforted and helped, so that now we come with the spirit of praise and thanks, to give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And he opens the eyes of the blind, so that now we this morning can say, I can see. Once I was blind, but now I can see. I don't have to explain it to you. It just happened. Once I was blind, now I know. Now I understand. Now I believe. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon Christ, and he has come to do this. He said that he has now come that we may be called trees of righteousness, planted, established, secure, with sin not having dominion, but we are a new creature, as a tree of righteousness. That is amazing. Established by the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we give him praise and thanks, because now we have a worthy purpose in life, that we may glorify the Lord. Now I remember thinking in the days of my waywardness that there really had to be more to life than this. And I had a fun life. But to go through the same daily routine to get up in the day to go do this and that, day after day. What's it all about? Is it worth it? Is there really a good reason for doing all this? No, there isn't. Everybody has to have a worthy purpose, or it's a waste. Just think of how many people are wasting their life because there isn't a worthy purpose. Now, with what the Lord has done for us, we have a worthy purpose for living every day that gives us joy or mourning and comfort. Here is the transformation of a sinner, a captive, one who is in prison, one who is brokenhearted, one disobedient to the Lord, has been transformed into beauty and trees of righteousness. We have not only been transformed, we have been transferred. We were in a prison house of sin. We have now been placed in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, a transfer. How glorious and wonderful that God can take us from the worst and cause us to be His best. So that this morning we looked at having our biggest problem, which is sin. Our biggest problem is not physical. It is spiritual, and it is sin. And we looked at our greatest blessing, which is spiritual healing, and what Christ does for us in regeneration and establishing us as people of righteousness. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for choosing us and visiting us and gracing us with the conviction of our sin, with the opening of our blind eyes, and for giving us faith to believe in Christ as our Savior and Lord. Thank You that we are regenerate people and that we now have opportunity to live for You, to praise You and thank You and love You. Lord, cause this truth in this passage of Scripture to hit home to our lives today and cause us to live with a worthy purpose to glorify Your holy name. And we pray this, that Christ may be glorified. Amen.